Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Team. Broadcasting from the seditious Sagittarian summit. Mining Bitcoin and serving as an idle wheel to inconspicuously inculcate you with the intricate ideas of individualism. The Freedom Fiends help you to question obedience and laugh as Western civilization collapses. And we have a special guest tonight. Live on broadcast radio from Washington, D.C.
Hi, Donald Trump here for the amazing border wall. The fastest, easiest way to keep those illegals out of your country. Just watch. Look at this. And if you act now, we'll deport all your illegals immediately after we pass this Trump care. Wait, we didn't pass it.
Wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. I'm going to work with the Democrats to get a bigger socialist package passed. All right.
We're all left speechless by the dominant.
It's covered by the Epcot No Government License. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. Learn more at thecot.org.
Nice. I didn't know we had that. file. I think I need to play with Pocket Alibi more.
Yes, you need to.
So right now I'm kind of happy because of all this stuff with Trump and his Trump care or Obamacare light. Rather, I think there's a better way of putting it.
Alt Obamacare.
Yeah, it didn't solve any of the problems. In fact, even the one thing that he was really harping on was like, we're going to get rid of the lines, all the invisible lines, the artificial lines, we're going to get rid of them. Wasn't even in the bill. And so he tried to get this thing passed, and now he's talking about, oh, and it didn't pass. And so now he's talking about how he's going to work with Democrats. And I'm sitting here like, weren't all these libertarians talking about how he was going to bring back the Republic and stop the Democrats from doing everything? And now he's going to work with them. Nice. Well, of course. And of course, the one group of people who are probably the biggest allies, I use that term loosely, by the way, of our kind of ideals, he's slamming them. So, yeah, good job, all you people who voted for Trump thinking he was going to be a libertarian. Good job. Good job, everyone. Just turn the lights off on the way out.
See, now you can walk around and legitimately say you're still voting. I mean, mm-hmm. Come on.
I mean, what do you mean now?
Well, doing it for a long time, but they wouldn't listen. Maybe now they'll listen. You know, the left savior failed them for 8 years, and now the new right savior is going to fail them within 100 days.
It hasn't been 100 days yet. It's been 2 months. Yeah. He's still got 40 more days left to go. Nice, good job, everybody. Good job.
It's the art of the deal. What can you say?
Yeah, I do vote, but I don't vote because like, oh, it's gonna solve something. I vote because it's like, well, it's Tuesday and I have nothing better to do on my day off, so I might as well go. So might as well, because on in Nevada we have a checkbox that says none of the above. So if I can go there and do that, I'm at least a little bit happy. But yeah,
what happens if none of the above wins though? Do they just not hire someone, or do they do a whole new election?
I think they just defaulted to whoever got second place. But I think if it gets overwhelming, they're going to be like, okay.
Really? If none of the above wins, one of the above still wins?
Yeah. Probably.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not exactly sure. Choice.
Yeah. But I was going to vote for none of the above for president, but then Bill Weld came out and endorsed Hillary Clinton, and I was like, well, if he doesn't want me voting for his candidate, for his, I better vote for him. I just did it just to spite Bill Weld. So, yeah. I don't hold any kind of high hopes. Even if Gary Johnson did get the election, as much as I didn't like that
would,
guy.
He would never. It's just crazy talk now.
We'd be having the same conversation, like, look at all these people who thought that Gary Johnson was going to fix everything.
He didn't. He's working with the Democrats now.
Yeah, now he's going to work with the Well, Bill Weld definitely will.
Allegedly.
I don't even think allegedly.
No, really not.
Come sue me, bro.
The wonderful public servant. Oh, yeah, they're terrible. Basically, all candidates are terrible.
Yep. Even if they got a little L by their name or an R by their name or a D by their name, don't matter. Because once they get in, they're just kind of like, oh, we got to do something because we're here and we have all this time and we need to sit here. Might as well write up some legislation. And it's always going to be trying to compromise with the other team so that they can get a couple more votes for some of the holdouts in their own party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Trump care, man. What were they thinking?
Well, they were thinking that they were going to dredge the swamp.
Yeah.
See, for some reason, he keeps mispronouncing dredge. He keeps saying drain when he means to say dredge. I don't know. It must be a New York accent.
Never can trust them. Mm. Yeah. So when did you quit voting?
Me?
Anybody.
I didn't quit.
Anybody. I mean, we have how many co-hosts here tonight? We're only three talking.
When did I quit? I didn't quit voting. I probably should.
Yeah, he's a statist.
I probably should.
James is a statist.
But if you give me an opportunity to vote on I don't want my taxes raised, I'm going to go say no, I don't want my taxes raised. I mean, I think it's kind of counterproductive to not say no to
other people
tax
might
hikes.
Want their taxes raised, though.
So yeah, I'm still trying to say no. I mean, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to voice saying no. Voting for people to become rulers, no. But voting against tax,
you mean voting
and stuff
for
like,
protection, right?
Well, voting. I think voting against like a millage is just fine. I think if they're saying we're going to raise your taxes, do you want us to or not? And if you don't raise your hand and say no, it's kind of silly.
Well, I'm not ideologically opposed to that, but like Ben and I were talking on a show once about that specific issue, and what happens? Ben Stone, the bad Quaker.
Okay, all right.
And you know what happens a lot of times with these bond issues where they want to raise your taxes for some public works project that's useless and counterproductive. Even if the populace votes like no, they just reframe it. They either do it anyway, or they reframe it and say, oh, we need to have another vote on this. And, you know, they just keep going till they get what they want. So
yeah, it kicks the can down the road. It does kick the can down the road. But on a Tuesday, you got nothing better to do. Why not?
Yeah.
Well,
that's usually my Tuesdays are.
and what I would do, what I've done in the past, I'll go to the voting bowls and you just kind of, like, I don't know, pass out flyers and try to sway the status, which I know is
I do have a story about that. A few elections ago, I went to the polls with a sign that says just two words, don't vote, and stood outside of the polls. And keep in mind, I am active in the Libertarian Party, and I was on the ballot at the point in time.
Was that before or after you voted?
This was I didn't vote. I did go get my ballot to take a picture of my name on it. I just wanted to do that because I was on the ballot, actually. But I went and stood outside the polls campaigning for people not to vote well on the ballot myself. But I did have one guy that drove up, and he sees the sign. He rolls down the window, and he says, why? And I said, voting only encourages them. And he pulled into the polling location and sat there for a little bit. It was like maybe he was in there for a few minutes, and then he drove back out and he rolled down his window and says, you know what, you're right, I'm going home. So, see, I say that was a successful campaign for office because I got one person not to vote. Can't say I never did anything for the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, see, if you would have told him to go, hey, vote for the Libertarian candidates, he would have rolled his eyes and like, oh, whatever. I'm going to go check some R's. Yeah. But you did.
Exactly.
Instead, you got him to do the right thing. Yeah. Of course, maybe if there was a none of the above option, you could have convinced him to, hey, why don't you go vote none of the above?
Right. But we don't have a none of the above option in Michigan.
I'm curious. Like you said, you know, if you told him to vote for the Libertarian candidate, he'd just go check some R's. Why is it, historically speaking, that Republicans tend to ally with Libertarians more than Democrats do?
I don't actually think that's true. I think that we pull from Libertarian Party polls from everybody.
I came from the left.
Yeah, I don't think there's one specific side that Libertarian Party pulls more from or not. I think it depends on probably the candidate and the election, who's running. But I think it's pretty well even, and I think there is actually data that I've seen that backs that up.
Yeah, I think it really depends on who the nominee, at least for the president side, at least who the nominee is. Someone like Michael Badnarik was probably going to pull from the R's, but someone like Gary Johnson is definitely going to pull from the D's more than the R's. That's for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, I was
a watermelon when that's red on the inside, green on the outside.
So. Isn't it all the greens?
Yeah, all the greens are watermelons.
But no, because I ran for sheriff actually this last election, and pretty much all my votes came from the Democrats. So I had Democrats voting for a candidate whose campaign slogan was "Free all prisoners, arrest all cops."
Nice. So if you won, did you have to arrest yourself?
Well, I wasn't going to win. I think that was a fairly safe assumption. I did still have the L next to my name, so there was absolutely no way I was going to win.
Don't try this at home.
So, yeah, don't try it at home. But I would have, I had a lot of silly campaign promises I would have had to keep. Like, I would have had to also crash their MRAP tank through the wall of the jail. That would have been pretty fun.
That would have been awesome. That would have been a YouTube sensation right there.
It would have been. But it's safe to say I didn't win. But a lot of Democrats in my county did vote for me. Of course, my county is like 10-1 Republican. So
it's weird because in my experience, I haven't seen that much of Democrats allying with Libertarians because they all... I mean, Democrats are pretty much communists for the most part, and they all see Libertarians as, you know, just greedy, capitalist, money-grubbing people.
So. But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more!
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Special. You're better than those geeky nerds who use Android phones. They think they're so smart. But you're one of the beautiful people who has an iPhone. So the Freedom Fiends moved heaven and earth to make an iPhone app just for you. iPhone users are elite, and the Freedom Fiends know this. And we've handcrafted this artisanal app just for you. It's gorgeous, like you. And like you, it's functional and then some. The app is free, and it's called Freedom Reeducation Camp. Go to iTunes and get Freedom Reeducation Camp today, because you inspire joy feelings in everyone around you. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp. Spend some time today in Freedom Reeducation Camp. That's Freedom Reeducation Camp.
Sit in my lap and climb all over my keyboard. So she's sitting on the couch staring at me.
How dare you?
That's pretty much the look I'm getting, too.
I just sharpened these claws.
Yeah, so we were going to talk about post-scarcity
stuff. Our robot overlords?
Yeah.
Yes. I welcome.
All right, so what was your question? What was the question that you had? Because this is sort of my forte, this topic, at least.
Okay, so the idea, the question really is, what are some ideas where we can use automation, robotics perhaps, technology to replace what's currently provided by government monopolies?
Implying that government also provides a service with or without automation, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So to replace statism with a technocratic robotism?
I mean, it's kind of like anarcho-transhumanism, right?
That sounds more like just state transhumanism.
There's a lot of this stuff that's already kind that's of true. Doing well, that already.
Jeff Bezos for president, his new robot suit.
Oh my god. I used to work for Amazon.
He looked a little too happy in that thing. It's kind of scary.
But if you think about it, the taxi cabs were kind of regulated by the government. They were really kind of doling out with those medallion systems, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where they would only allow certain cabbies to operate within the city. Then Uber came along and just said, hey, we don't need that. we'll just let other people share cars. Then, of course, they're all like, look, we all know no one's just going to get in a stranger's car. That's never going to happen. Good luck with your dumb business model. And how well did that? And it did. And it really put a damper on that whole system too. You know, I kind of feel bad for the people who saved up all their money for a medallion and then Uber came out. But
yeah, like in New York City, it's like 10 grand.
Yeah. You have to, they put up a lot of money to get that state granted monopoly.
Yep.
So I don't feel bad for them.
Nope.
Live and
learn. I'm not crying any tears.
I'm not crying any tears for anyone who paid the state for a monopoly and it didn't work out.
Yeah. I thought your question was going to be along the lines of, well, what do we do in a market system if everything is going to be automated and everybody's going to be out of work? That's usually the question when it comes to automation that
I mean, that would be, that'd be a good one as well. Are you saying that you'd,
are you
some
wanting,
people say there wouldn't be an incentive?
Well, they're floating an idea in Europe, which is terrifying, that with the rise of technology and automation, that the government will just give you a stipend every month.
A UBI.
Oh, right? Yeah, I've heard of that.
And universal basic income.
Little plebe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, you know?
Well, I've heard UBI proposed as a replacement for just the regular welfare system, though.
Yeah, there's lots of problems with it. But, I mean, when it comes to automation, automation only really kind of covers menial jobs, kind of factory work, like, you know, checking at a checkout stand, things that, like, a robot can do. As far as like stuff that takes intellectual things like art or, you know, knowledge
no, robots
type
can
things
do that.
Or yeah, no. Mm,
yeah, they can do that.
AI
robots can totally make art.
I mean, there was that one that composed a symphony, so that's not.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but that's all mathematics.
Yeah, yeah. It's algorithms. Yeah, what about like
they didn't,
blockchain
they didn't compose.
Technology?
What about it?
You mean using it to vote?
No, not to vote. Well, actually, I mean, you could use it for contracts to set out certain rules within the society, within a free society. You're
blockchain ruler, huh?
Yep.
Stop calling me a statist.
That sounds pretty statist.
Not ruler, just
I'm in
rules.
Your blockchain, mining your
stuff. Oh, yeah. How are you going to have rules without a ruler?
You're Boom. A statist, dude. You can't talk right now.
Wanting a ruler and actively doing silly things to make their system look silly are two different things.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, a lot of people do kind of crave, like, oh, I want, like, this handmade rug, or I want this, you know, I want this artist that was, or this painting that was created by this artist that I really like the work of. When it comes to kind of robotic
like,
stuff, people get
like
bored
to get
with that real quick.
They won't, though, because then they're gonna want the painting by Picasso 2.0, and then they're gonna want the painting by Picasso 2.1 beta. They're gonna want that.
But there's going to have to be someone that's going to program that computer to do it.
No, so it can have other
the
It's all going to be computer programmers. Wow. It's the only ones going to be making money.
Exactly.
And then robots will do that too.
Robots building robots.
And the miners mining
robot
the Bitcoin.
Robots one.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Hi there. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. Purse.io is a great website where you can spend Bitcoin on Amazon or trade Amazon gift cards for Bitcoin. I use Purse myself and I love it. You can also get discounts on Amazon. You can get 5% right this minute, or if you place your order and wait a day or so, you can name your discount and get 10%, 20%, even up to 33% off. You can try Purse right now and get 0.01 Bitcoin free after you complete your first order over $50. And if you go through the Freedom Fiends link, Purse will also send 0.01 Bitcoin to the Freedom Fiends. Help yourself to some agorism and help Liberty Media while you're at it. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Purse link at the top right, even if you've used Purse before. Or enter the referral code FIENDS when you sign up at purse.io. That's FIENDS. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra. Do it.
That's right. How it started.
Yeah. I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Yeah, this is how it goes. This is Richard Spencer.
Richard Spencer.
His website.
Where's my? That needs to be in the pocket alibi. Yeah. Michael, no. If you're listening to this, put this in the lower chat, please.
I wish that they'd change it. Someone needs to... I probably shouldn't advocate that on the radio.
Don't do it.
Do it anyway.
I think it would be hilarious if the picture of Richard Spencer on the website was replaced with the one of him getting punched.
With the Fibonacci sequence.
It was yes.
See, now tomorrow someone's going to hack the site and do that.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. They'll come call
by the way.
They'll blame you for it.
Yeah. I'm going to get an angry email from Michael Dean right now saying, you're burying the lead. What is the alt-right and what is Richard Spencer? What is a Richard Spencer?
All right. Well, let's go into what is the alt-right. Alt-right was a term coined. What year do you think? What was that back? Early?
A couple of years
late
ago.
Late 2000. It was not that long ago.
Really.
A term coined to describe white nationalism. And since then, it has kind of grown into a movement based on frog memes and racism and nationalism and just silly people. I think a lot of it is a lot of trolling, people thinking it's funny, but it's that kind of stuff really isn't funny.
There is a lot of people who call themselves the alt-right who are not the alt-right. People like Milo and Lauren Southern, they're not alt-right. I mean, they were calling themselves that for a while. Then they were like, oh, it's ethno-nationalism? No, thank you.
you notice
Milo.
That.
Milo, he doesn't want to be separated from the kind of guys that he, that he wants to sleep with. But anyways... and then Richard Spencer is the guy who coined the term the alt-right, which is short for the alternative right, and he runs the website The Alt-Right. And this kind of thing has been going along long before the term the alt-right. Before then, it was like neo-reactionaryism. That was kind of like, and then it kind of became broadened out a little bit more.
Well, it was white nationalism. They were calling themselves white nationalists for a while, but that wasn't a good term.
It's a bad PR stunt.
That's what alt-right is.
He specifically said that. He said that he wasn't going to use the word Nazi, Richard Spencer did, because it was bad for publicity. So it's the same
thing. That's why the neo-Nazis started calling themselves white nationalists instead of neo-Nazis.
Or the National Socialist movements.
That didn't really work out. So it went over, and Richard Spencer finally came up with a term that disguised what they were enough, and that was an alternative right.
Didn't all this stuff come about from kind of a nationalist movement?
Well, yeah, the white nationalist movement, ethno-nationalists.
Yeah, I saw the kind of rumblings of it earlier on because there was a YouTuber that I used to follow, and he used to make really good content, a lot of economics talks, and then it slowly started diverting down that whole race realism thing, and this was like the first time I was exposed to it. I was like, this is kind of getting kind of weird, and then that channel had just stopped talking. No, he's from Sacramento. It turned out he was actually a gay escort. But And then it just kind of slowly kind of, and then all of a sudden he released this video in defense of fascism. And he was unironically defending fascism. He was like, I'm done being a libertarian. I'm actually an actual fascism. And he was explaining why libertarianism doesn't work, which is kind of funny because I hear people who are like try to describe libertarians as fascists. And I'm like, but what about the actual fascists who bash libertarianism? Like, I see this quite a bit. So, not the same thing. Fascists want to control every aspect of the economy and your life. Libertarians just want to be left alone. They're like Hulk, right?
No, they just want to be left alone. The actual alt-right calls a lot of the people who would self-identify as alt-right while not being ethno-nationalist as alt-light. Mm-hmm. I've seen that term thrown around in the alt-right circles for people like Milo or...
is that supposed to be a pejorative?
Yes, it's supposed to be a pejorative, saying they're a light version of the alt-right. They're not quite there kind of thing.
It's You're not as edgy pejorative. As me, buddy.
No, they're not. They're not edgy enough. They don't want, a white-only nation, all that kind of stuff. But that's kind of who the alt-right is. Richard Spencer's their leader.
Richard
and
Spencer.
And he has a song.
Richard Spencer, cut your hair like me.
Which apparently at a conference he was at, there was someone standing behind him playing that song while he was giving an interview.
What is the song?
Sing the whole thing.
I don't know the whole thing.
I think it's I think it's Seventh Son that does it. If you look him up, it's a bad YouTube channel. He's an alt writer, but those kind of guys also like to make fun of their own. So,
people like to make
fun of their own. Have a little soft spot in my heart, even if they are evil.
It is a funny song.
Yeah.
Because it's like a mashup parody of a number of different songs too.
It's a Queen song, right? No, what is it?
Well, it starts off as a Queen song, and then it goes into some Vanilla Ice.
it's a song that's Ice Baby kind of sampled from. I can't remember what the name of it is. Why can't I
Under Pressure?
Of that Under Pressure. There we go.
Yeah.
So it starts out Under Pressure, and it turns into Ice Baby.
That's what it is. Yep. Under Pressure parody, but so that's the alt right, and I think we covered the lead, and now I buried what we were actually talking about. Why were we covering what the alt right was?
Talking about why the alt-right.com existed.
What is this?
Making fun of a guy who was alt-right, supposedly, right? But he wasn't racist.
Yes.
He's not racist enough.
Not racist enough. That's what it is, this article here. The Bayes Stickman, which we got to not bury the lead on this. Bayes Stickman was a gentleman who, at a Trump rally, ran around dressed in roller skating pads and a bicycle helmet and a stick with like a wooden shield with an American flag on it.
I work with clients like that.
Really? It was like really low budget LARPing is what he was doing. he's like, I'm gonna dress up as a knight, but I only can use things that I have in my garage.
By the way,
let's put on some of my childhood safety gear and go LARP in the park.
If you know what Chandler does for a living, it's kind of beyond the pale, that joke, which I like. Good job. Go ahead. So, yeah, Bayes Stickman. You asking what based means? Was that what you were asking, Chandler? All right, so based, I think that kind of started with what, Lil Wayne or something like that. So based is kind of like if I'm based AF, that means that like I just don't care what anybody thinks. I'm just gonna do whatever I want anyway. So Bayes Stickman really didn't give a crap and was hitting commies over the head with wooden sticks. So there you go.
With wood that he found in his parents' either basement or garage or maybe shed. Mm-hmm. But so this Bayes stick man is not so Bayes, according to the altright.com, because he made a post on his Facebook condemning racism, condemning the racist talk within the the alt-right movement. And so they obviously did not like not having people call out their racism and say that racism is bad. So they're attacking him kind of brutally in this a little bit here, going on to try and argue that the United States is supposed to be a white-only country.
How dare you not want to commit genocide?
Yeah,
wrong with you.
But this Bayes stick man, officially known as his government name Kyle Chapman, is he's an American nationalist, not a white nationalist. So
different.
Well, there would be, because he wants a American only thing. He's not so concerned with only white people, I guess. So if you're already here, you're good. No new people,
I
guess.
If you're already here following the rules, like, I'd like to put that to the test.
No new people.
No new people. That's really what this is no new people.
New people make me nervous. My hands start to sweat. I just don't want them around.
No new people. No, that's I guess that would be the best way to sum up American nationalism. No new people versus the white nationalism.
Tribalism.
Yeah, it's just silly. It's all silly. But so he made this post, and they're attacking him, and they're giving these like arguments that America was supposed to be a whites-only country and all this kind of stuff. Posting there, that's this this whole. And this is on the alt, and people try and say the alt-right isn't racist. It's silly.
just reading this, the comments in this article are
the comments are amazing.
The country's also supposed to be an agrarian society as well, but we're not doing that, are we?
Yeah, but apparently the here is what the. They got here. Why would the Bayes stick man cuck on race? They ask. And the Bayes stick man has a child with a woman of Asian descent. So
rice mixing, miscegenation.
So that triggers the alt right pretty bad. Not allowed to have mixed race babies, and that's what a lot of the comments in the article from the alt right viewers, altright.com viewers, are saying that they're very opposed.
If I had the time and inclination, I would just troll this website 24/7. There's so much to work with.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to hire somebody to do it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only voluntarist media university. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world, and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate. Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
No, I'm probably not.
Talking about.
Well, I'd like to make probably one more comment, and that is that Richard. Wait, go ahead. That.
Oh.
I thought you were.
I didn't know you were going to say the name again. Yeah.
Yeah, he needs to delete his website.
Delete your account.
Delete your account. Delete your account.
Last time I heard someone say delete your account, they ended up getting elected president. So.
Oh no, what did I do? Well, I guess apparently I'm going to be elected president. But Richard Spencer should still delete it. Well, if elected president, I will not serve. If nominated, I will not campaign. If elected, I will not serve. There. How's that? But
I'll take the pension, though.
I'll take that.
Probably what I'm going to pay in taxes over the course of my life anyway. Right.
So I'll go ahead and buy some new shoes on the government. Yep. All right. Well, that's enough of Richard Spencer talk, I suppose.
All right,
what else do we got?
I was going to talk about this quote that I came across earlier today by, her name is Laura Markham. She is an author, and she wrote two books, one called Peaceful Parent, another one called Happy Kids. And the quote is as follows. Most parents assume that strict parenting produces better behaved kids. However, research studies on discipline consistently show that strict or authoritarian child raising actually produces unhappy kids who feel bad about themselves and behave worse than other kids, and therefore get punished more.
Allegedly.
I was actually about to say that, allegedly. I did do some research a little bit on it, as far as she did actually say that quote, this author. But what I was going to add to that is that kids who are raised in strict households, who are sheltered, who really don't get to get out much, who don't get to make mistakes, they often have difficulty properly vetting people in situations. And therefore, they
I'm
tend
sorry,
to get stuck
sir.
In a cycle.
An older girl told me to do it.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
And therefore, they get stuck in this cycle where they're continually making poor decisions and just like everything's going wrong for them kind of thing. So long story short, let your kids make mistakes, you know, let them run around and get hurt and, you know, do stuff.
There's a big difference between strict parenting and structure. And I think a lot of people fail to see that. I'm done.
James, right, people are trying to talk.
Oh, you're so lucky I don't have that available.
So what's the difference between strict and structured then?
Well, I think I kind of agree with the premise that strict authoritarian parents produce, you know, what the author said. But when you have structure, it's I think you lessen that to a degree. You can let kids make mistakes and learn from them. But if you have structure and stability, they have more opportunity to build self-confidence and build better judgment.
I think that if you look at some, you know, for example, the Montessori school system, that would actually completely disagree with you about any need for a structure in child development. And well, they have good success on that. When they
what do they define as structure, though? I mean, I guess
you'd have to kind of. The Montessori school system is a way that they develop education, I guess, where the children basically guide their own
learning
education.
Process.
They guide their own learning process. School without school, basically.
Hey, baby,
yeah, but that's different.
Hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
That's a lot different.
Irrelevant.
I think we should go into this in the next hour for sure. Yeah. More robotic comments.
Ooh, structure.
Want to go back to my place and watch Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom? Yeah, well, we're from our sponsor, exploiting uranium enemas to keep away the new world order.
That's probably my favorite one.
All right. Let's see him in the next hour.
Next dimension.
It wasn't me.
Value your input.
It's not cheating if you sleep with a ghost.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Jim Jesus here for the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low-orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Bees Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017. Watch this. And the Alpha Centauri region, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. But wait, there's more. This allows use and reuse by anyone except governments. Here's how to order. BIPCOT.org.
Yes. That was great.
Thank you for your service.
Worms. What is that? It's so creepy.
Creepy group laughing. Oh, jeez.
All right, so anyway, we were talking about peaceful parenting structure versus sheltering, correct?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah. So explain the difference between that.
Yeah. What is peaceful parenting?
What that is.
I don't know what that is.
Well, I just wave the gun around. Don't go to war.
That usually keeps
kids.
Them in line.
Well, peaceful parenting is, it's not spanking your kids, which is hitting them. It's not using violence towards them. It's using reason to talk to them, because if they're old enough to understand why you're hitting them, then they're old enough to understand reason instead. If they wouldn't be old enough anyway, then you shouldn't be hitting them in the first place.
Because sounds like a bunch of hippy-dippy liberal nonsense.
I've gotten that a lot.
That's what I thought at first, too, honestly. But when you think about it, actually, spanking does decrease brain cells. And your children learn by watching you. They learn by example. So if you're using violence against them,
I
and you're instead
it by
using reason,
you.
If you're using violence against them instead of reason, then that's exactly what they're going to turn around and do.
So hippie stuff.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with hippies.
Peace and love.
But, well, there is one thing wrong with hippies, and that's patchouli.
Patchouli.
If I become
I
dictator of the world,
though.
I'm banning that stuff. That's the only thing that's illegal.
Dictator
that
of the world.
Sober.
Yes, that's what I'd ban. And you're actually more likely to survive a car accident if you are intoxicated. So
that's true, because you're
driving intoxicated is a safety concern.
I'm going to try that next time I get picked up. I'm just going to call you and have you talk to the cop.
Safety precaution. Come on, guys.
It's safety.
Hey, officer, this guy actually ran for sheriff. He's one of you.
One of us.
And that's when you would get beaten and locked in. Probably not a good idea to cite me to a police officer during a traffic stop.
Yeah. So back to what was the other thing? There was peaceful parenting and.
It was basically just peaceful parenting and not sheltering your kids. And then someone mentioned that there was a difference between sheltering and structuring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, there's a difference between strict authoritarian parenting and providing structure. Mm-hmm. I mean, providing structure. And I get, you know, when you, James, when you're talking about the Montessori school, I actually agree with a lot of their philosophy, but I think that's school.
I went to Montessori. In an
you did?
Yeah, yeah, I did. Right. I was there for preschool and kindergarten. I went to Montessori school.
Hmm. And I agree with their principles and their philosophy for the most part, but it's a little bit different because you're still in an education setting. I think, and that's like what, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day maybe. But when you're a parent, I think it's healthy to provide a certain amount of structure because it provides, it helps build confidence in children. And it helps them to not be afraid to explore the world, to learn different skills so that they're a better judge of character, like you were talking about earlier.
Well, I don't think that they should be allowed to do whatever.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. If you're allowed to do whatever and there's no structure and no consequences of that, that's another thing. I think as a parent, you should demonstrate there are consequences for your actions. And you don't have to do that by hitting your kids or anything like that. You know, I mean, there's tons of alternatives and it depends on what the specific situation is. I mean, I know I dealt with that being a single parent most of my life. I had to learn that because I came, you know, I grew up in that old fashioned environment where, you know, spank them, you know, do you take them over the knee if they misbehave and it doesn't work, you know. And I saw kids that I grew up with that's all they knew. And they became very, very reckless and wild in their teen years and into their adult years even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you can teach kids also that chores are important. You can teach them useful skills or doing things around the house, helping out, and just explain to them, this is why we do this. Everybody has something to bring to the table and explain to them that they're appreciated. Make them feel like they're doing something that helps. And if you show that you appreciate it, then they'll be more likely to help out, too.
Oh, you're far too nice. I just tell my kid to do it.
Hey, just do it.
That's part of your room and board. Do those dishes.
Well, that's the thing, though. If you explain that, like, you're doing this because you live under this roof, because we all help out, then it's rationalizing.
If you don't like it, you can get out.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd say that, but who knows?
Well, and you know, it's funny you should mention that because in the homes I work in, I have worked in the past and currently, I see teenagers especially that, you know, they can't stand, they won't do anything. I mean, they won't, you know, do dishes, you know, the dog makes a mess or gets into the trash, they won't pick it up. And, you know, when their parents talk to them about it, they're like, well, you know, when I'm 18, I'm out of here and there's nothing you can do. And you know what? Those kids wouldn't last 2 minutes in the real world.
Yeah.
You know, they can't take care, they can't contribute to the household, they can't take care of themselves. I mean, mummy and daddy feeds them and gives them.
I had a coworker like that recently who, like, he was spoiled and seriously, he didn't know how to do laundry. And he thought it was funny. And I was just like, dude, you're going to have to learn how to do laundry sooner or later. I mean, seriously, it's ridiculous.
Well, he probably was brought up thinking, oh, I'll just get me a woman and she'll do all the housework. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's nonsense. And I think a lot of, I don't want to sound like an old fogey, but, you know, I do have an 18-year-old daughter, and there are a lot of kids that are ill-equipped to deal with even the most simple challenges because they were brought up, you know, my generation, I'm, I don't know, late 30s, I guess, you know, we were brought up like, there's trophies for everyone. I can't remember my age. Who needs to know that crap? But, you know, everyone gets a trophy. Yeah, you know, yeah. And you can't have your feelings hurt, and everyone's special, and everyone's a winner, and, you know, and we were brought up in that, and, you know, fortunately some of us saw that for the nonsense it was, but a lot of parents didn't, and they raised their kids like that even more so, and now these kids are so ill-equipped, you know, do whatever feels right, no structure. No sense of consequences of actions, no sense of participation, you know, contributing, none of it.
And when they get out there, we send them off to college and say, hey, you can take any courses you want. You want to take, you know, lesbian basket weaving? You want to get your degree in that? Go ahead. Yeah, like you can do anything you want.
That sounds like fun.
You're
well, you could get a job with that degree though.
Right.
You could be a police officer.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wow.
Wow, shots fired.
Well, it's true though. Yeah. They really don't require much to be one of those.
Because yeah. I remember when I went to college, they were really trying to push me to go, like, why don't you get a sociology degree? And then we were looking into it. And luckily, when I took my first class, the guy was like up front and said, hey, like, you're going to enjoy this class. It's going to be absolutely fun, but don't think you're going to get a job after this.
Unless you want to be a police officer.
Yeah. Well, or a sociology teacher.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, there you go. Even in schools and colleges, there's no sense of structure. You can take these absurd classes. And I mean, I had always encouraged my girl, you know, I really thought going to a trade school was better, you know, and the high school has like a trade school program in it. And she did that for 3 years, and that's great, but she's going to college, and I'm just like, you know, I'm proud of her and everything. She got into a really good school and everything, but I've just tried to reiterate the fact that if you're going to go, you know, and she's going in the psychology field, but she has a fairly decent plan of what she wants to do specifically with early childhood development. And I said, you've got to stick to that plan. You know, you can't just go and take lesbian basket weaving and all that stuff, because it's not going to work. You're going to rack up a bunch of debt.
Yeah. And then you're going to come out and not be able to find work, because no one really needs a gender studies major in the workplace.
Bad touch, well, I mean, bad touch, officer.
They don't mind if, like, oh, you have this, but you also have a degree in something we need here. That's fine. But to go in there and be like, oh, I got a PhD in gender studies or lesbian basket weaving, they're going to be like, well,
they're going to laugh.
This is not really, yeah.
Unless you want to be
flip
a cop.
Burgers.
Or a TSA agent.
Yeah, or a TSA agent, yeah. You could be a TSA agent, you could be a cop, you could be a burger flipper.
Yep.
Or
I have a lot more respect for the burger flippers, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Burger flippers. They supply you with burgers, and they're delicious.
Yeah. And a lot of times they end up getting out of that job and have some experience and understand how money works and how you're getting taxed. And then they start to realize, like, hey, getting taxed sucks. Maybe being a liberal isn't so fun after all. Like, once you start getting, you're seeing your paycheck dwindle, you're like,
taxation
is
theft.
Oh,
yeah.
Getting taxed is not just a liberal thing, and when we come back from the next segment, I have a good story about that in the Maine legislature. Mm. Yeah, mm. It's
But wait, there's more. Stay tuned after the market, and we'll be right back. Watch this.
Find it, cop.
So easy, even your grandmother can do it.
Can she, though?
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Yeah, no cussing. No complaining. No cussing.
No fun.
All work, no play makes Jack a dull boy.
So yeah, before the break,
settle this argument. Give me Lysander Spooner on the Ouija board, stat.
So before the break, I was talking about how, you know, the taxation isn't just confined to liberals, and my uncle is a state legislator, and he's a real conservative, gun-toting, you know, really, he's a good guy for the most part. I mean, he almost gets it. But he posted on Facebook that he was listening to compelling and convincing testimony about why it's necessary to raise the cigarette taxes, you know, so we can get people to stop smoking. And
yeah. He's a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink.
Yes. And yeah, man, I just, it surprises me to see that kind of rhetoric coming from somebody who's more conservative-minded, and he's also religious, and I'm like, you know, why would you try to economically legislate morality and behavior? And
if I mean, cigarettes even were $10 a pack, I'd still buy them.
Exactly. I said these taxes. Right now. Yeah, these taxes, they just hurt the poorest people, you know, and they don't address the underlying issue of addiction. I mean, like you just said, you'll pay $10 for a pack. You need your smoke.
Well, it reminds me of what Dennis Leary said, that he says, they're a drug, we're addicted, we'll break into your house to get the cigarettes.
Yep. And that's, I know that's parody and comedy, but I think that's where we're headed with this. I mean, I don't know how much cigarettes cost. I know
it depends on where you're at.
Yeah.
They're like, for me, they're like $3 and some change per pack.
What do you?
That's cheap. What?
That's real cheap.
It's like Maverick menthols. Oh, yeah, they're cheap.
Yeah, that's yeah.
Delicious. That's
menthols. I mean, I roll my own, so yeah, I don't know.
I roll my own as well.
Mint, not menthol, please.
Yeah. It's a Kentucky Select natural pipe tobacco. I roll my own cigarettes.
I mean, as opposed to, you know, using stolen money as I am, you know, I would rather, I mean, I'm a realist and I know the government's going to do it anyway. I would rather they, you know, take the money that they've stolen and put it into prevention
taxation, you know, is theft.
Right.
It is.
But they don't get that. And realistically, these people probably never will, because that idea threatens their livelihood, you know? So, but I would rather them spend money on, you know, giving out free nicotine patches or something than just raise a cigarette tax. How is that going to help anything?
It sounds pretty statist.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's all statist.
Yeah. Yeah, I really would rather them not do that. I'd rather them just not tax my cigarettes.
Well, yeah, me too. Or but they're going to do something.
Wait, what?
I said marijuana could just be legal, and that would probably cut back on a lot of those problems.
It is in Maine.
And other issues.
Yeah. I haven't seen the stats. I mean, it's too early to tell, because I think weed only became legal in January, but...
Not federally.
Well, yeah, I know. State.
Yeah, not in Virginia.
Yeah, in Nevada they just legalized. Well, they had medical for a while now, but it's only been like a couple of years. So like they had just started really getting the infrastructure going have it something like California, and right before that could really happen, then they legalized it fully. Yeah,
but that's what they did in Maine too.
Yeah, but it's going to take a couple of years for the city council or whatever, I guess the state is doing it, to write out all the regulations so that they can start opening actual stores so you can go in and buy it, because the legislative process is slow, which is kind of a perk. But yeah.
Well, they did the same thing in Maine. You know, we were talking about how the government does whatever it wants regardless. And even though the citizens initiative to totally legalize weed happened, I mean, the governor put a moratorium on it and said, oh, well, you know, we have to look at cause and effect and, you know, politician speak. And so we can't implement this law right off the bat and everything. Yeah, well, our governor is like a mini Trump. He's disgusting.
That doesn't probably sound like a good governor.
No, he's really not.
Is he orange too, or
he's getting there?
Okay,
but that's jaundice.
This isn't even my final form.
He's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you tired of stinky socialists trying to take over America?
And are you also tired of theorists talking about the free market as a cure-all for every problem with no first-hand experience of how the market actually works?
Well, the Truth, Justice, American Way app gives you wall-to-wall shows by hosts who not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money in a variety of patriotic endeavors.
The Truth, Justice, American Way app for Android is 24/7 streaming audio content on the topics of finance, liberty, self-defense, and technology.
All the hosts are all American-Americans from all over America.
And the app is made in Wyoming, the cowboy state.
Because you should buy American, even with free Android apps.
Truth, Justice, American Way. Useful information, compelling personalities, and superior American audio quality.
Go on the Google Play Store or the Amazon App Store and search Truth, Justice, American Way.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
TSA is theft.
#delete your account. #delete your account.
#TSA delete your account.
Speaking of which, you do know that they have an Instagram account where they actually post every single thing that they confiscate, and it's so embarrassing.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
It's the most ridiculous stuff. Like, they don't find anything, you know? And it'll be like, it'll be things that might look like something dangerous, like a toy grenade, I think was one thing, but it's I don't even know why they're confiscating it. And they're just like, look what we did, and they're so proud of themselves. It's adorable.
Well, it's, you know, the theft is unbelievable, because yeah. I've talked about how I've gone to the state surplus sales before to buy cheap gear and stuff, and they have a bin it's basically stuff confiscated from the TSA, you know, Swiss Army knives, pocket knives, everything. Some really nice ones. And, you know, they sell them and make money, and they've stolen that, so it's all profit for them.
Yeah. So here's some of the things that are on it right now. Like, there's some stuff on there. Like, there's a cane, like a walking cane.
Somebody needs that.
But this walking cane actually delivers, like, they say, what is it? A million volts. I don't know about a million volts. Come on. Of course, a gun. And then there's like a little decorative. This is not even like a self-defense knife. This is like a decorative kind of fancy artisanal knife. But then there's like lemons, a pinata, like those little styrofoam things that you get like Chinese food in, full of crawfish, a key lime pie.
Why would they not put a key lime pie? You never know. The next terrorist might be MacGyver.
Burgers. They confiscated burgers.
Well,
is the thing of waffles? Is this the thing of tallow? I believe so.
This is stuff that they captured.
Did you guys?
This is all stuff that they've stole.
Did you guys hear what they did a couple of years ago? The guy who played Chewbacca in Star Wars, I can't remember his name. He's a very, very tall actor, older gentleman. And he had a custom-made lightsaber cane that he used to walk, because he walks with a limp. And he was going through TSA, and they confiscated it.
Oh, what? Come on.
Yeah, and it was a lightsaber. It was, you know, George Lucas had it made and gifted it to him, and they stole that.
Tell me he somehow got it back.
I believe
they
after
they don't give stuff back.
Well, no, I believe he actually sued.
If you're famous, you might. If you're famous,
yeah, he sued to get it back, and I think eventually they did. But
it was just a cane. They took his cane.
That's so
yeah.
Sad.
They took his cane because it looked it. You know, it looked like a lightsaber, so it could be a dangerous weapon.
Oh, it's a lightsaber.
Yeah, it's a cane. It was a plastic. You know, it's they're ridiculous. It's security theater, and it's not.
I
even
I can't
good
believe
theater.
That they confiscated hard boiled eggs.
TSA hates the Force.
Yeah, some of these, some of the stuff on there is like the ones with the little text above it. Some of those aren't things that they confiscated. They're things that people are asking them, hey, can I bring this on board with my checked baggage? And they'll say, yeah, you can bring that in, but it has to be checked. So the stuff that doesn't, where they're showing like a keyboard that's been disassembled or a computer that's been disassembled, yeah, they're not going to allow that. Well, it looks like they were smuggling. Oh, this is a replica bomb. Yeah. So it's not even a real bomb.
Well, yeah. Did you hear about
they confiscated a pizza?
They were hungry.
Why can't you bring a pizza on a plane?
Because they were hungry.
Why? Why can't you just? I don't understand. Why? What's wrong with the pizza?
Yeah, I'm even going through this now. I'm looking at it, going like, well, there's a lot more stuff on here that seems
it's
a little bit more
conspiracy.
Scary than they normally post. I think they started noticing that people are picking up on like, hey, you just confiscated a replica sword that's not even like sharp or anything. You can't do any real damage with it. Hmm. So they started going like, okay, let's stop putting those things on. Just start showing the M80s because people are scared of M80s. I don't know what you're going to do with an M80 and an airplane to bring it down, but good luck with that.
Well, they confiscated.
Bring that on board anyway, though. I mean, that's.
They confiscated e-cigarettes. I thought e-cigarettes were allowed.
Nope.
Yeah.
No?
Because they explode now.
You can make a bomb out of it. Oh, yeah.
Well, you're allowed to bring your regular cigarettes. Regular smoking for the win.
You can't bring your lighters, though.
You can. Yep.
You can now?
Yeah.
No, oh,
you can bring one lighter.
Okay.
Well, at least I just did when I was flying. They didn't stop me. I guess there's no way to really know if it was allowed or not, or if I just didn't get caught.
Yeah, I haven't flown since before 9/11, and I won't. I will not go. You know, I will not get cancer treated or groped. So if I have to go anywhere, I'll drive. It's kind of an inconvenience, but nope.
Hmm.
Yeah. They have like this little novelty item. I'm sure you've seen this before, that there's like a, it looks like it's a fake grenade, and it has like a little tag on the pin to pull, and it says rush orders, take a number. The joke is if you want to rush, you know, you're going to explode or want to kill you. Whatever, and they confiscated that because, well, technically it's not allowed.
Well, it's like the zero tolerance policy in schools, you know kids bring little G.I. Joe action figures with guns, and they confiscate these little tiny guns because there's a zero tolerance policy, and
or a pop tart you took a bite out of strategically to make it kind of look like in the shape of a gun and go pow,
or a carrot.
Or one of those water toys.
Man, if they would have done that stuff when I was in school, I would have gotten in so much trouble. The things we did back then.
Or if you point your index finger out.
That's a threatening gesture. You might trigger somebody.
Yeah, these are just absolutely silly. I'm looking at this, and I mean, some of them are like, yeah, a knife, a gun, or whatever. But then you come into some stuff that's just, why would they confiscate this stuff? Like a multi-tool thing that's just screwdrivers. Like, what are they going to do with screw? They're going to disassemble the plane in the air? Is that what they're thinking is going to happen? Like, there is not like a knife on this thing. It's you know, different, like.
I'm going to climb out on the wing and start pulling out all these rivets with a screwdriver.
Or a goldfish.
What?
You can't bring a goldfish. Apparently, you're not allowed to bring goldfish on planes.
I think, honestly, I think this is just conditioning. You know, it doesn't matter how absurd it's. You are, you know, they're trying to condition the traveling populace to just blindly and obediently follow these orders. You know, mm-hmm. you will be groped, you will be scanned, you will have anything we deem unacceptable confiscated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's, to what's a large degree, it's worked.
And mm-hmm. when the TSA, it's also important to notice, like, when they're actually pulling all these guns and knives out and you're going like, oh, wow, that's scary. Well, just remember that when the TSA tests themselves, like, this is not like some independent auditor who's, like, really working to fool these people. This is, like, them trying to prove that they're effective, come back and say, like, yeah, it looks like 90% of all the fake guns, knives, and bombs that we try to get past our own security guards get right on through. So you're only seeing about 10% of all the stuff in, and yet we don't see all these, you know, terrorist attacks happening all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of counterintuitive to try to hijack a plane and ram it into a building anymore, because as soon as a plane is hijacked, you know, people start getting like, okay, we know where this is going, and we're going to do everything we can to stop it, including killing ourselves, because people will kind of go like, yeah, maybe if we're going to die anyway, we might as well try to stop other people from dying as well. That's the kind of mentality people have.
Nail clippers?
Yeah.
You're not allowed to have nail clippers?
No, no, that was one of the first things that got banned.
Yep.
Oh, come on.
Dude, come on.
Is someone might trim their nails and drop it. You might step on a nail.
You might step like, on a nail.
I wonder if you can bring Legos. Open.
I wonder if you can bring Legos on the plane.
Oh.
Someone might step on one.
I think they make you take off your shoes. So.
Yeah.
I might want to go flying. See if I can't bring some Legos on the plane.
I'm going to get my own plane with blackjack and hookers.
In fact, forget the plane.
That is crazy how many things just get confiscated. They're just showing. This isn't everything that they confiscate, I don't think, right? This is just a selection of what they confiscate.
I think they actually might do everything that they do.
Because I just recently was flying, and on my return home, it was weird. I don't know how it happened, but I must have ended up somehow in like a different line or something, or they just weren't, because they didn't like have me take my shoes off or anything, or pat me down. Or even take my belt off.
Was this before or after the Libertarian Conference?
I was going to say they recognized
you. This was just a couple days ago. On my trip, you know, every other plane ride I've gone through, there's like not like this at all. But for some reason, going through there, it was a completely different experience where I didn't even have to take my shoes off. I didn't have to take my belt off. All I had to do was empty my pockets and throw my carry-on through the scanner and walk through a metal detector, and then I was good to go. And I don't know how that happened. I was like, wait a minute, is this, like, I don't know. Like, if they put me in a different line or something, mistaken me for one of those pre-check people or something, I don't know. Or maybe they were showing me, like, a preview of it, in case, I don't know. But it was weird.
I think the most interesting thing I've seen them try to confiscate was when Dobby Barker, is he a current? No, I don't think he's a current host. He was a former host of the Freedom Fiends here.
They confiscated
he attempted to... No, they saw Bitcoin in his luggage, and he was like, how do you see Bitcoin in luggage? This is not how this works.
Oh, I remember that. They did they did searching on him because they were trying to find Bitcoin.
Yeah.
They claimed that him and
Bill Buper trolled those TSA agents pretty. They deserved it.
Yeah. He had like what, a pin? Like a lapel pin that had Bitcoin on it.
Yeah, because Bitcoin doesn't come in like a physical form. It's a digital currency. Everything's
remember who we're talking about.
Right. But there are kind of like paper wallets you can get that are in the form of medallions. And I don't think they even have those anymore. What they saw was that he sells like little trinkets and, you know, little pins that you wear on your lapel pins. that have the Bitcoin logo on it.
They probably thought they were gonna get rich.
Yeah. If they even know how to use it.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
So yeah, the TSA sucks.
Yep.
Boo, yeah. TSA.
You know it. I know it. We all know it.
TSA, delete your account.
TSA, delete your account. That's the hashtag. And Richard Instagram Spencer, account. Delete your account. TSA, delete your account.
Whitehouse.gov, delete your account.
Government.gov, delete your account. How about that?
Matter of all .gov, delete your account.
Yeah. We can handle this through automation.
Delete all .govs. Delete your account.
I still find it fascinating that there's a White House Snapchat account.
There
what
is?
Interesting. Yeah, what interesting times. Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, like there's no like indecent pictures that they're snapping, which I think was what Snapchat was kind of built around, is just taking pictures of what's below the waistline.
So much more now.
Yeah.
So White House has a Snapchat.
White House has a they had a Snapchat.
Who started that? Delete your account. Delete your account.
But I started following it, and I was noticing, like, oh wow, look, Trump says it took a picture of what is it? It's like there was just a couple of trucks, a couple of big rig trucks sitting outside of the White House lawn, going like, today the
that's your tax dollars hard at work.
Yeah, the big rig association is here. Tremendous.
I'm gonna have to follow them just to see now.
Yeah.
That just seems ridiculous. Seriously?
Yeah.
I can't even get Snapchat to work on my phone. It's rooted, so apparently Snapchat doesn't like rooted phones.
Well, if you do get it working, follow the Lulberts. Yeah, the Lulberts. What is your Snapchat? I didn't know James Weeks had a Snapchat. Are there man thongs on it?
Who said I had a Snapchat?
I thought you said you were going to follow it.
I'm going to get Snapchat to follow it.
Oh, I nice. Need to
follow it. Yeah, so, it's know your enemies. See what they're posting on Snapchat.
My Snapchat is taxation 15 theft.
Nice.
I'm never on there, though.
Oh.
Giving out your Snapchat on the radio. Let's see what happens. That seems like a bad idea.
We'll see what happens.
A surge of new followers.
Oh, yeah.
And they're the kind you don't want. The kind that listen to radio at 1 in the morning.
who actually want to call in but can't figure out how to do it because we never give out a phone number.
Like, oh, this is going to get
interesting. Can you talk about how Obama is born in Kenya? It's like, dude, come on. We're in 2017 now, buddy.
It's the current year.
It's the current year.
The current year, and the White House has Snapchat.
I'm definitely going to check it out. That's
you're probably going to want to see. I bet you already got some messages.
Nah, not yet. Still waiting.
I'm still waiting to get 5 minutes.
I'm going to start taking pictures of myself in a bikini with taxation is theft and other certain things over it and putting that in my story, and maybe we'll actually get something out of this. Maybe people will actually listen.
No.
No. They'll just no. be like, oh, just cover words up the text pictures. There. I'll just cover up that text. Just ignore that.
Yeah. They're going to send you weird things. That's what's going to happen. Because that's how Snapchat works.
Yeah, it we'll makes see. Me kind of wonder, is the TSA going to hop on Snapchat and send me pictures of the fake of the fake swords that they confiscate from people?
This guy had the call to bring out a jar of peanut butter.
Well, they should just delete their account.
Yeah.
Hashtag delete your account.
Government, delete your account. Great chatting with you guys.
We'll leave the DMV.
Yes.
I don't know, man. DMV, they're kind of fun to troll.
House of Representatives, delete your account.
It's good. Alright guys, this is good. I will let you know all about the Snapchats that I get, which I don't anticipate there'll be too many, but it could be interesting.
Oh yeah, it'll be great. Post them all to Facebook.
Oh, I will, don't worry.